Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, folks. Michael Heck, President and CEO of G&O Inc., joins us just back from Washington, D.C. The Mardi Gras Ball, said to be one of the biggest, Michael.
One of the biggest, and Newell, it's good to be back. I'm physically recovered. Emotionally, the scars remain, but that's what makes us what we are, right? When was the last time you went up to Washington Mardi Gras?
I think it was about 3 years ago.
Yeah, it's a very difficult thing to explain to people. It's very, very, very Louisiana, and it almost, in some ways, it kind of epitomizes all that's wonderful and all that's tragic about the state, you know, all in one hotel ballroom.
I understand this year the fire marshal made them buy tickets back because they sold too many. Is that true?
Yes, that's true. What they actually did is they did a thing like airlines where they were offering people vouchers for the next Washington Mardi Gras if they would give up their seats. No, that's not true. But it was packed, and it is an incredibly efficient environment politically. It's a really good way to build social and political capital. And frankly, more than ever, in this really divisive kind of, you know, media and political climate, it's probably very useful to get people together in a relaxed environment and just develop a little bit of that relationship capital and have a drink. And it probably does actually help in the legislature and other places. So although it can be difficult, I think it's probably worth something. And look, there were some interesting highlights to it. We had, Mrs. Benson, who was the speaker at the economic development lunch, talking about the Air France flight. And, I think what's happening there is that President Macron had an outstanding time here. One of his explicit priorities is kind of, I guess he doesn't call it recolonizing the rest of the world, but he wants to reestablish French influence. So I think he's pushing for that Air France flight. And I'm comfortable going on record that I would not be surprised if we see it along with the BA flight in the 2024-2025 time frame, and having Mrs. Benson behind that, of course, is really useful. Senator Kennedy talked really in the most emphatic terms about the need to fund the road, the truck road for the new port, so that the port can get built and not impact the people of St. Bernard. And I thought that was it was nice to see that type of really clear support from the federal delegation. We had a special kind of a surprise appearance by Speaker McCarthy, who I guess probably Steve Scalise was able to get there. And that was interesting because, you know, regardless of where you are on the political spectrum, the media kind of tends to make a caricature of these people. And it was interesting to hear McCarthy talk about his background growing up in Bakersfield, California, how he didn't have enough money to go to college, so he went to junior college, and his life story, and it kind of puts it really in context. I thought that was interesting. And at G&O Inc., we, for the first time, had special events held for younger professionals. We called it Young Professionals Engage. We had a party, and we had a federal briefing, and they were hugely popular because you know, generally washed and Mardi Gras is not, is geared towards people who have been going for 30 years. And so this was, I think, a new group that we are, I don't know, introducing, indoctrinating, I don't know what the right word is, inoculating.
Inoculating. I'm not certain.
But it was a good event, and we're back, so.
So, Michael, let's talk. Is there an opportunity out of the infrastructure bill for that roadway for the new port project?
Yeah, there is an opportunity out of the IIJA to get funding for that road. And I think that what Senator Kennedy was trying to express is that there are two massive stars that are aligned. One is that there are literally trillions of dollars in D.C. waiting to go out. And the second is that on both sides of the aisle, we're very well positioned, disproportionately well positioned in Louisiana, because on the Republican side, we've got a very active delegation. And, of course, we've got Congressman Scalise, very highly ranked, particularly, along with our senators and others like Garrett Graves and Troy Carter. And then we also, in the White House, have Mayor Landrieu sitting in the Eisenhower building on top of $1.2 trillion. And I think the point that that Kennedy was trying to make is, let's not do it the typical Louisiana way, where 65 parishes all make their own remarks. And by the way, I know there are 64, but the bar at Washington Mardi Gras, for everybody who's listening, is called the 65th Parish. He said, let's not do that. Let's come up with a consolidated series of large asks, and if we do that, then we have a chance of being successful. And, you know, a good example of that that just came down is that we just got out at Calcasieu a major mega grant that came through, I think one of only nine given out in the country that was given out for the I-10 bridge there. It was $150 million, and that was because our delegation heard a singular request from Louisiana DOTD for that mega grant. So I think what Kennedy is saying is, let's decide on a few projects, and then we're in good shape to probably get them.
Prioritize them. Don't compete against one another, and involve yourself in impactful asks, right, for the entire entity of the state as opposed to the individual.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And, you know, it kind of gets back to our discussion, you know, for example, on ports, where there's all this discussion. We talked about it last week about Avondale and Port of South Louisiana, Port of New Orleans. And the point that we've been making, and we actually made this in testimony last week up in Baton Rouge, is that our strategic sites shouldn't be set on each other. On one port against the other, they should be set on the competition on Mobile and Gulfport and Houston and Savannah and Long Beach. And it's just, you know, I guess we invented the term parochial here in Louisiana, and it gives us our unique character. Yeah, no, we are the archetype, right? I mean, you know, everything else after us is an imitation. But, you know, sometimes it's not always a strength, and when you're going for big dollars, and when you're competing against other states and other countries, coming together is important as well. And so we're going to be pushing for more coordination amongst our entities, because that's how we're going to win.
Right, Michael. How about an update on NOLA Coalition?
Well, you know, NOLA Coalition, when we started just a little over 6 months ago, Newell, we were kind of just desperate to do something, desperate to try to get people to focus on violence as the type of public health crisis, and in the same way that we were focusing on COVID. And so we thought we'd get some folks together. We thought we would get maybe a couple dozen if we were most effective. Well, this past weekend, we just surpassed 500 members, 500 organizations, something we never imagined. About half of them are nonprofit or civic organizations, about half of them are businesses. Members run the gamut from, you know, Democrat, Republican, Black, White, Uptown, the East, Lakeview, Central City, now across the region, Jefferson, North Shore. And it's everybody coming together with this singular mission of saving our city and therefore our region and specifically our kids. So we're going to have a press conference next weekend, and we're going to talk about our priorities that we have for 2023 and about the successes that we had in 2022. It's going to really our way of saying we've been successful. We last year were effective in getting millions more in pay for bonuses, retention for equipment, in getting redeployment, in bringing back technology, and getting to accountability dashboards. Most recently, we've been successful in a commitment to work with IACP and get a top-flight national police chief, and we're going to argue with more pay. And we want to say for next year how we're going to focus on recruitment and retention, on violence prevention. And I think I've said this before, Newell, but I was talking to Ronald Surpass, and we were talking about police response times. And he said, Michael, you know, response times are important, but by definition, any response time is too long because it means somebody's been hurt. We need to focus more on de-escalation, on mental health, on family support, and making sure that the bad stuff doesn't happen. So we're going to be focusing on taking a public health approach to that. And then working on the system as a whole, which means you got to think about the district attorney's office, the judiciary. We can't just focus on the police because the police generally respond to crime. They don't prevent it, although we do think we need more proactive constitutional policing. And then finally, we're going to raise millions more. We've already raised over $5 million. We're on our way to $15 million for youth service programs, which are really the ones driving the generational change by changing kids' lives one at a time. So it's, you know, Newell, you've tracked this from the beginning. We had no idea it would become this, but it just shows there was just such a desire for a vessel for people to put in their time and effort and treasure to try to help this place, and it's humbling to have been part of building that that organization.
No, absolutely, and you know, I've said this before that I think this is really a defining moment for us, and this initiative is a difference maker, and we got to support it and keep supporting it because bringing everybody together, focus on the same mission and vision is huge. Michael, we just have a few minutes left. Let's talk about insurance. The first hurdles are cleared up in Baton Rouge. They have a, which is not out of the ordinary this morning, a committee of the whole of the House. A lot of questions being asked, you know, and I think some legitimate observations as to how much impact this will actually have. Your thoughts?
Well, one, I just don't think we have much choice. Right. You know, to some degree, we're over the barrel. We've lost, I think, 20 insurers over the past couple of years from either going bankrupt or just pulling out of the state. We've seen an increase of 63% in premiums for Louisiana citizens. Folks are being pushed onto Citizens because they've lost their insurers. So we've got to bring these folks back in. It worked after Katrina. I think it's going to work again. I think the truth of it that probably isn't being said is that the insurance companies know this money is coming, and so they're gaming it. It's, you know, it's like Newell, you're one of those people who waits till, you know, who waits till the 26th of December to buy your kids Christmas presents because the prices go down. You know, you're gaming it, right? I get it. They get the same stuff. It's less expensive, and so they're gaming us. They're waiting until they get these grants, but the way it's being set up. Is that they have to maintain the written premium. I think it's over 5 years to get the full match. They've got to match one-to-one the amount that they're getting from the state. And so there's some guidelines and guardrails that are in there. And, you know, at this point, I think we just need to do it and get it done so there's time for the insurers to get reinsurance and time for the hurricane season.
With me, though, that this is a short-term fix and that we really need to focus in either a special session or the regular legislative session on more long-term options here as to how we're going to approach this? I mean, we've not approached the building codes. We've not approached the way that we will allow these insurance companies to write, you know, they're writing policies. They have too much market in particular zip codes, so therefore they have too much risk. The insurance commissioner the other day admitted that he failed in monitoring the test and the matrix relative to reinsurance, because a lot of these guys, mm-hmm. when things were turning down, what did they do? They cut their costs. One of their big costs is reinsurance premiums.
That's the insurance for the insurance companies.
Right? Yeah, and you know, and the person that ends up getting hurt more than anyone is the insureds, the citizens of the state of Louisiana. Something's got to, I mean, we got to treat this with shock and awe, and I just still not certain that we're, you know, really creating the exigency in and around this issue that we should, because you know as well as I, if we experience out migration greater than in migration in this micro economy of the greater New Orleans area, and we have people moving north of I-12, we're in trouble. Mm-hmm. The headwinds almost insurmountable.
That's right, because you can get into kind of a civic and fiscal death spiral, right? Whereas you have mm-hmm. out migration, your tax receipts go down, and so it's harder to maintain, harder to have services, and so forth. But to get back to your original point, Newell, I agree with you violently. This is a short-term fix, and the key thing is that we have to make sure that once we get this done, we deal with those things to create a more competitive insurance market so that insurers can write in this market profitably. And so we have to look at the rules. We have to look at the regulations. I think another thing that we have to look at in this is the tort environment, the legal environment, right? You know, what is that exposure that insurers have that's causing their costs to go up? And the problem, it's kind of like the debt ceiling issue at the federal level. Mm-hmm. There are some very good reasons, if you look at history, that we shouldn't continue to let our debt go up. Eventually, it will destroy our currency and destroy our country. But you only get, as you said, this exigency when we're about to, like, not be able to cover our debt.
Yeah, when we're ready to default.
Immediate. Yeah. Right. But as soon as it's done, we're on to the next, you know, the next issue of who has classified documents.
Right.
And so I do think that we have to keep the pressure. By the way,
Did you get any while you were in D.C.?
I don't know. I got a tour of the White House. I don't know what I picked. I did get some White House M&Ms.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Good for you.
And they might have been classified, but I don't know. But so it is really important. And there's a bigger issue here, Newell, for the country, but particularly for Louisiana. We did an analysis. We haven't done it yet for Louisiana. Over the past 5 years, cost of staying in your home, and what I mean by that is your mortgage note, your utilities, your groceries, your insurance, including your homeowner's insurance, flood insurance, health insurance, has gone up 70% for the average American, right, in nominal terms. In that same time period, average incomes have gone up 25%. So that math doesn't work, and it's only going to be worse in Louisiana, where we have some costs like our auto insurance costs, right, our health insurance, our flood insurance is worse than other places. If we don't address that, we're going to have a major middle-class squeeze in the entire country and even worse right here.
No doubt, for sure. And I talked about that for an hour earlier this morning. We need to wake up, and we need to put pressure on our elected leaders that we need to come together. We need to figure out what the solutions are going to be. And these quick fixes, I don't know about you, I'm tired of them. I know we may not have a choice, but we got to move beyond that. We'll be right back. We're visiting with Michael Heck, president and CEO of G&O Inc. Stay with us, folks.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.